Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One task before every Christian is to show every generation that the religion of Christ is of divine origin. And this demands that there be evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, while men wrote the words were chosen by deity. Among several evidences that this is true is the prophecy fulfillment element of the Scripture. A prophet is one who spoke for God. He did this both by preaching and by predicting, by forthtelling and foretelling. The preaching the prophets did was by direction and authority of God. The predictions they made concerning the future were beyond the normal ability of man to know. They could not know what would transpire by their own experiences and the immediate conditions. Their kind of prophecy is common to Scripture, but it is not done today since the complete will of God has been revealed to man through the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And that Scripture affirms the verbal inspiration, the infallibility, the inerrancy, the authoritativeness, the all-sufficiency of the Scripture. Now, to foretell the future accurately is quite noteworthy. Moses wrote, "But the prophets which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that he shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Deuteronomy chapter 18. Again, "The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him." Jeremiah chapter 28. Now, no man has the power to look into the future except God grant him that ability. Only God can know the future. Men can know concerning the future as God reveals it unto them. When events are prophesied literally centuries before they occurred, and prophesied in great detail, none can doubt with such evidence of a supernatural and divine guidance and oversight. And friend, this is the kind of prophecy and fulfillment that's repeatedly found in Scripture. Now, in the first two chapters of Matthew, it reveals several matters of importance concerning such things as the genealogy of Christ, the events relating to his birth, and in these two chapters we have record of the fulfillment of many prophecies. Now, there are numerous prophecies, too numerous to fulfill in just one lesson, and we're going to confine ourselves to just some of them. But in this way, we can teach information vital to the understanding of Christ and to see prophecy and fulfillment. His nature and his mission, plus the strengthening of ourselves and the evidence of the Word of God, is seen in prophecy and the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, the Scripture says an angel came to Mary to inform her that she would bear a son, and his name was to be called Jesus, and that name means Savior, because, as the angel said, he shall save his people from their sins. Mary said, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You see, Mary was a virgin. She was betrothed to Joseph, but they had not come together. Even so, the angel said that she would bear a son according to a prophecy that had been uttered nearly 750 years earlier. He quoted from Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And that prophecy says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It's tragic that the Revised Standard Version, so-called version of the Bible, a version produced by those who deny the birth of the Son of God by a virgin, who deny the deity of Christ. They perverted that passage by changing virgin to simply say young woman. Friend, don't we know that one can be a young woman and not be a virgin? This alteration against the Word of God, it allows for the denial of the virgin birth, and that's the very thing these so-called translators wanted to deny. Nonetheless, Mary was more than just a young woman. She was a virgin. The word Alma, it means more than just a young woman. It means a young, marriageable, unmarried, chaste young woman. Well, that's a virgin. But this prophecy was given 7.5 centuries before it was fulfilled. And Jesus was the only one to meet the demands of this prophecy. Now, this is not a coincidence, but this is irrefutable evidence of divine guidance, both regarding the prophecy that Isaiah spoke and the birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary. If anyone doubts the term Alma means virgin, then let him allow the wisdom on what Matthew had to say about it. Matthew interpreted Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Matthew said, the birth of Christ was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, men can contradict that if they want to, but Matthew was inspired of God, and he spoke the truth concerning both the prophecy and the fulfillment of it. Now, you see, Mary and Joseph, of course, they were of Nazareth of Galilee, yet Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Augustus Caesar, the emperor of Rome, ordered that there be an enrollment and a taxation that was to be conducted according to one's ancestral home. Well, both Mary and Joseph were descendants of David. And, of course, Bethlehem was the city of David. And they made the journey southward from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the purpose of this enrollment. And it was while they were there that Jesus was born. Now, his birth was unusual, not only because Mary conceived while she was still a virgin, but because it occurred in a manger, there being no room in the inn for them. And it occurred in the city of Bethlehem. And this is exactly as had been prophesied, as in Micah chapter 5 in verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Now, reference to this prophecy is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. I would like to ask, how could Micah know the very unlikely event that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? He lived so many, many years before the actual event. Who told him this was going to be this way? Micah could not have known, except God had revealed it unto him. Even the scribes and the priests recognized this prophecy as being of divine origin. It was not luck that it all turned out just happened to be this way. Furthermore, after the visits from the shepherds and the wise men, Joseph was warned to take Jesus to Egypt to flee the intent of Herod to kill the child. Herod had learned of his birth from the wise men, and the scriptures noted, the scriptures that had been noted by the scribes. And he feared any other king other than himself and possibly Caesar. But Joseph obeyed the direction given him by the Lord, and he fled to Egypt with Mary and Jesus. This was a normal reaction, to be sure. But the place to which he fled, it was designated by prophecy. He was to take the child and his mother to Egypt. And this is important when we realize this event was foretold 7.5 centuries before it happened. In Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1, "Out of Egypt did I call my son." God had called the nation of Israel out of Egypt as a type of the coming of Jesus Christ out of Egypt. Upon leaving Egypt, Joseph took the child to Nazareth. And this also is in fulfillment of a prophecy that he would be called a Nazarene, Matthew 2 and verse 23. There's another prophecy we want to quickly consider that was in connection with this escape from Herod. Herod, being unable to locate the child when the wise men, being warned of God, returned home another way rather than to reveal to Herod his whereabouts, this allowed Joseph time to make his escape. And seeing his failure, Herod ordered the slaughter of all the male children in the area of Bethlehem that had been born about the time of the birth of Christ. We can properly consider the slaughter to have occurred around 2 years after the birth of the Lord. The children up to that age were among the victims. Such an inhumanity to man has seldom been executed in history. And even though there were probably few children involved, we can appreciate the agony of it if we'd been one of our own children, can we not? Jeremiah had foretold of this vicious deed. He said in Jeremiah 31, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, and a bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." Matthew 2 and verse 18 cites this prophecy, that it was made nearly 600 years earlier in connection with the event of the slaughter of the children in Bethlehem. And I ask, how could Jeremiah have known? The only reasonable, logical, sensible explanation is the true one, namely by divine inspiration and the revelation from God. You see, Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, and God was, of course, all-knowing. God oversaw the things that were taking place. God, seeing what would take place, had Jeremiah to prophesy concerning this event. And this event was fulfilled in the prophecy and fulfillment element of the Bible. Yes, dear friend, the story of the birth of Jesus is a beautiful story. It's told over and over again, and it never loses its brilliance. And we can be thankful for the manifestation of God's love and grace that deity took on the form of flesh. We're thankful for what he did while he was in the flesh, including his death, burial, and resurrection, which gives our hope through him, the forgiveness of sins made possible by his blood. It is because of these events that the birth of Jesus takes on greater importance. But can we not also rejoice that God has seen fit to reveal these events to us? He's shown us that he provided his prophets information long before they ever took place. And in this way, we can be sure of the integrity of the Scriptures. And we can see the certainty that God's hand was in it all. It is as if God placed his signature at the end of the book. Yes, this is one of the evidences of the divine inspiration of the Bible. God's prophets of old foretold of things that would take place, and they came to pass just exactly and precisely as God had predicted. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.